least I got my little app going. Saves it on the web now. Automatically. Or automagically. Well, more automagically anyway. Yeah, it saves it to my web page. You know how the little link underneath the pictures? Yeah, right from right here. Well, I have to start the app and tell it to download, but I could incorporate that right into the same other app, the app that's recording, because it's an open source app, and I already modified it to do, make my file names right and stuff, so I could just put it right in there.
You're really good. You have it just automatically on the class starts.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even have to. That's a good idea. Actually, I could put that in. Then I wouldn't ever have to worry about it. It'd just be in my pocket, and it would automatically go, right? And turn it on and turn it off at just the right time. Good idea. Excellent idea. Yeah, awesome. That's a great idea. Yeah, right. Well, some of those lectures, the other day, it might have even been the last day, I forgot to turn it off at the end of class, yeah. And I got to digital control an hour later, and oh, look, it's still going. So, you get an hour of my day if you really care. Okay, so what we're looking at today is circuit board layout. Oops. This fan is not working as good. Let me try this one. Okay, so now that I got that up there, first thing I want to do is I want to show you the second video about KiCad. Maybe I need to help you on this problem so you can actually think. That's okay. Well, here. But no, here, look, we can do this in 2 minutes, okay? You basically got it. So, okay, well, what we know is right here, this is going to be, we're taking a 50 down to 100, right? So here's the 50 has to be on this side because it's lower.
Where is 100 coming from?
Because 100 parallel 100 is 50. Okay. And I want to see 50 in there, right?
Okay.
And this 50 ohms, however long it is, going into a 50 ohm load will be great, right?
Wait, where?
Okay, so
100,
this has to be 100 and that has to be 100. This little stub with that guy has to be 100 because 100 parallel 100 is 50, right? It's the only thing parallel itself that'll give you 50, right?
Okay.
So that has to be 100. And so on one end, I'm going to have 100, and the other end, I'm going to have 50. So 50 is smaller than 100, right? So the 50 has to be on this side over here, on that line, somewhere on that line.
Okay.
And it's going to go over here to 100, which is going to be 1 over that, right?
Right.
And it might be here going over to there. We just don't know what the Z0 is, that's all, right?
Right.
So you just say, when you go from here over to here, it's just taking 1 over. Z normalized becomes Y normalized, right? So Z normalized is, if I start with the 50, 50 over Z0 has got to equal Z0 over 100, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the Z0 of the stubs. Is that, what is that? Is that 1? Is that 1?
Well, no, those are just 0. I'm just wondering where
the Z0 1 is. Where is Z0 1? I forgot.
It's
50?
Line.
Yeah, Z0 1, reason that comes in is because you can put any amount of 50 ohm coax, and if you terminate it in a 50 ohm line, it doesn't matter how long it is, right? There'll be no reflections there. Everything will just go down the line and be absorbed right into that thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to hook a transmitter here, and it's going to send a wave down that line, right? And we want it to be totally absorbed in those two guys. So if we make at this point where this 50 ohm line terminates here, if we make that look like 50 ohms, then we did it.
Okay.
In reality, what will happen is the wave will come down here. It will split.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it will go that way. Part of it will go this way, right?
Yeah.
And there will be a reflection here, Okay, it will come back. There will be a reflection there. It will come back. But those two reflections will cancel out and make no reflection back here.
Okay.
I mean, so the idea is that, you know, if we can make this 50 ohms right here, then we've made everything work.
Okay.
And so then if you just solve this equation for Z0, you'll get the thing. And then you'll notice, oh, that was just like the problem we did last day. Because, you know, this gives you, if you solve it, it says Z0 squared equals 5,000, right? So Z0 equals square root of 5,000, which is 70.7 ohms. No, 100 comes from the 100 parallel 100 is 50.
Yes.
Okay. And then the 100, on one end we got Z0 over 100, you know, that's the admittance. And when you go a quarter wavelength, it's going to be Z0 over 100.
Okay.
And the other side is 1 over that, you know, it does 1 over that, so it'd be 50 over Z0 or whatever.
And that's the other end of the...
That's it. It has to be a quarter wavelength because the only way you can go from a real to a real is by going a quarter wavelength. This is the only line where they're all real.
Okay.
So, anyway. So now that we got Hillary straightened around...
Okay. Yeah, Hillary feels better now.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay, so now... Yeah, we just wanted to have Hillary feeling good so we can continue on with all the other stuff we're doing. Okay, first thing I want to do is I want to look at the KICAD, the other video, if I can find it here. Where is it? I know it's here somewhere. It must be KICAD. Okay, so it's got to be somewhere here. Oh, good KICAD tutorial video 2. That's it, right there.
Things first, name your board by clicking here. Now you can import the modules by clicking this button. Choose read current netlist. Close this window. As you can see, the modules are imported at the top left of the page. We will automatically place the modules in the center of the page. Click this button named Manual and Automatic Move or Place of Modules. Now can now right-click and choose Global Move and Place, Move All Modules. Do that in the center of the page.
English. Yeah, I like the
time. It's the fun part.
Yeah, right.
For example, this is bad.
Well, that's a mechanical situation. Yeah, you decide. And actually, it shows down in the lower right hand what the dimensions are right here. You can change. change it to inches or millimeters.
There's a button on the left that you can't see because it's on the black part right here. So maybe we ought to scoot that thing over just a tad.
Adjust the value for your needs.
I can do that.
No. It's going to be off on a little bit on either side, right? I wonder if there's a way you can change that.
Go to auto. Select layer repair. We will do a single side PCB. So
we there we go.
For both layers.
How's that?
Okay. Now we can choose auto on all modules. Two times on high, RATS X will refresh the screen to see the unconnected wire. We have five wires that are not connected. To delete the tracks, go to the menu, edit, global deletions. Select delete tracks and include auto rooted tracks. An external router called free route. Click on this button.
The free router is better than
choose
the
export a Spectra design file.
Better than the internal one.
Launch the free router. Open your own design.
And this is in the
yes.
Front and bio.
One-sided.
Left click to stop the auto router if it did not successfully connect all the tracks. Connected tracks. You can also move the modules by clicking drag.
You can do push and shove routing too. That's what he's showing right there. You just kind of. You can
click on route to manually connect a track. Choose the back layer.
No, we can't do that.
Well, he's given up. He's going to do a jumper there. Oh, it's on the back layer. I see. Yeah. He's doing push and shove routing.
This one is impossible to.
Well, he might. I think he actually could have connected that one, but he's just doing a demo.
USB.SES. Back to KiCad, click on the auto route button and choose back import a Spectra session file. Choose the USB.SES. The settings. Draw the contour of the PCB.
Or wherever you want the ground plane.
Double click to
that's, you'll see it. It fills in the ground plane here.
Right click anywhere in the page and choose fill or refill all zones.
There it is. See, that's the ground plane. We'll talk about what that does here in a little bit.
Isn't that when you edge it, there's a copper?
Yeah, right. Well, that makes it so you don't use as etch off as much copper for one thing, but that's not the big issue. Okay, so that's, you know, that's kind of a quick overview. There's also, if you go and look under, let's go back here, there's some stuff under intro to CAD over here. There's a bunch of stuff here for KiCAD as well.
Did you give intro 2 years ago?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Just this last year. So So it seemed to me I had another movie on here somewhere. Here it is, right here. You could watch this one, too. This is me.
Greetings, this is Rob Proney, and this is a little video to help you to build your persistence of vision device. We're going to look at what you need to do in KiCad here today. If you look on the wiki, there's this new section that I put in here on what you need to do.
You guys can go listen to that if you want to. So that has some, you know, similar stuff to what you did. The thing I like about those two videos that you just watched, that one and the first one, are they're very concise. You know, he doesn't spend too much time. He sped up all the fast, you know, the boring stuff. And the thing that's not so good about it is that KiCad has changed. Maybe I should show you here. So it's a little bit, well, actually, you know, things are changing pretty rapidly in KiCad. So here's this is Steve Heinle's software-defined radio. And I want to relay out a new board for this that's even smaller, which will make it cheaper. And make one here. So I can show you, you know, the schematic is this thing right here. And if you look at the icons, they look a little bit different. Yeah.
Who's
Heidi's Heidi's husband? He teaches here once in a while. He taught digital logic for some people. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know Heidi Heinle, right? Teaches
yeah.
in math.
Yeah.
She's a math professor.
Okay.
Steve is an electrical engineer.
Yeah. Actually, I hear people reference him a lot. I just have never heard of this.
Yeah. Right. Who is Steve Heinle? Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, yeah. Steve is a nice guy. He's he's an expert at digital. Digital design. So anyway, basically, you know, here's the schematic. Basically, this is a connector which goes to a little FPGA development board that Arrow sells for $35. There's this AD9866, which is actually a modem chip, but it actually works very nicely as a software-defined radio. It has several different outputs here and an input coming in over here. Let's see. Where's the outputs and the inputs? Anyway, it's a full transceiver. In other words, it transmits and receives. This Steve put this thing on here as a possible thing to connect, if he needed to connect to the digital signals and do something, but it turned out he didn't need to. So I need to remove that, and there's a few other things that are unnecessary on here. Some of these connectors and switches turned out to be unnecessary. So anyway, that's his nifty little board. And if you notice, all the icons up here look a little different than what you were seeing in the other version, right? But they're similar. And then if we look at, like, the PCB new, here's his board here. And so here's this PCI Express connector he was putting on there just in case he needed to connect to something. I've turned off the inner copper layers. This is a four-layer board, so if you turn those on, it's hard to see what's going on. Four-layer board, yeah. And a four-layer board is actually better than a two-layer board because you can isolate or kind of shield some signals one from another, which is important when you have, what's that?
What are the four layers?
Okay, so you see green and red here.
Yeah.
That's, I could, here's the front copper. I just turned off the front copper. Okay. Here's the inner copper. This is, inner two copper, this is inner one copper. Yeah, you can see that's the blue color there. And here's the back copper, I'm turning it off. Okay.
So basically you just have a ground.
Yeah, the two inner layers are mostly shielding, mostly copper.
you can see there's these little cuts in the thing, and that's to keep the currents from this side right here will flow in this part of the copper and not over here. And it'll keep the currents from this part flowing over here and not going over here. The reason for that is over here is the analog section. This is the receiver input, which is a very small signal coming in, microvolt or so, and it's going to an A to D converter. The connections are right about here somewhere. There's a transformer in here that is sitting in between them, not much in there. But we don't want remember you saw those signals over here, those digital signals. We don't want all these guys over here, let's see.
What is this board for?
This is the software-defined radio.
Are you connected to it? It's already programmed?
It connects on to this connector right here. Connects to a little $35 development board you can get from Aero. And so that's where the FPGA is and all that stuff. And it has an FPGA, an Ethernet connector. So basically you plug this on there. This is the A to D and D to A. And the A to D and D to A connects onto this little software development kit from Aero. And that has the FPGA, and it basically takes the data that's coming in here at about 70 million samples a second. 12-bit samples a second. Then it takes those samples and it coalesces them down into a smaller number of samples and sends that over the Ethernet, which you can then, use your PC to, demodulate, display, and so on. So, anyway, you can see that the buttons here are a little bit different. This is the grid. You can change inches to millimeters if you want. And
what's that?
Disable design rule checking. Okay. And the hints are nice here. You just hover over it and then it'll tell you what it does. Little tools. So we've seen that. I just wanted to kind of introduce you to that so you've seen that. But now let's go look at, let's go back up here to electronics and let's look at some rules for circuit board design. So there's layout hints right here. So there's a whole ton of them here. I'm just going to grab this one because this is the first one I put up. It was just my handout from way back in the old days when I used to hand out paper handouts all the time. So one of the things you want to do when you're designing your circuit board is you need to realize the circuit board is actually an integral part of the circuit. It's part of the components, okay? And all those wires connecting things are little transmission lines. We've just been kind of looking at transmission lines. They're all just little transmission lines. And so you want to realize that it's very important how you do things and how you hook things up. Now, in the old days, we used to do quite a bit more stuff on breadboards. And you guys did enough so that you did, experience some oscillations probably when we were doing that, JFET broadband common gate amplifier, So you did experience some oscillations and maybe sometimes with the other BJT low frequency circuits too, right? And so the reason that you find oscillations so much more commonly on those breadboards as opposed to the circuit boards is that the parasitics that come from the connections are very much higher for those guys. And the reason, there are several reasons they're higher. The little places where you shove the wire in like this, there are little clamps down inside those holes. And then there's another one sitting right over here, with its wire like this. And they're back to back and they're insulated. But they act like a little capacitor. Each little row of pins has capacitance to the next little row of pins. And so you've got that. And then, of course, all your wires are kind of longer than they need to be generally on those things that go up and around. You can make them exactly the right distance and plug them in, but usually they're kind of, a little bit messy. And Secondly, there are no surface mount parts on those breadboards, right? So they all have leads, right? And if you have leads, you know, and the resistors have leads that are this long. Well, after we're done with the circuit board stuff, next thing we're going to talk about is the network analyzer, which is an instrument that'll enable you, now you understand the Smith chart, it'll enable you to actually look at impedances at different frequencies. And you will see some pretty amazing things, you know. You will look at a capacitor, a 0.1 capacitor with two leads, you know, this long, and a 0.1 capacitor there, you know, the two leads. Would you realize that that 0.1 capacitor is really more like an inductor than a capacitor at higher frequencies? Because as you go up on frequency, the capacitance becomes a short, right? And what's left? The leads. The leads are like two little inductors, right? So, you know, it looks more inductive than capacitive. And, you know, you're thinking that's a capacitor, right? Well, it is if you have short enough leads, you know. That's why surface mount is good, okay? But even with surface mount, you have to get those traces from one place to the next. So these are some hints to try and help you, you know, keep away from oscillation, which happens when coupling occurs from the output back to the input, where there's, you know, either 0 or 360 degrees of phase shift, you know, delay. Well, actually, coupling capacitors really should be called probably bypass capacitors. Those are the ones that go from VCC to ground. What those do is, what happens is if you have a power supply, there's two leads that go out way over here to this power supply, you know, somewhere off on your bench, right? And you were, when you were doing, making the transistor design, you said VCC was small signal ground, right? For AC. Well, with all that inductance going back to the power supply, it's not really small signal ground. It's a lot of inductance there, right? And so your assumptions were wrong, right? You didn't want that inductance in there. You wanted the power supply to be right smack there by the transistor or by the IC, right? And so if you put that capacitor there, it makes it like the power supply was right there, because any AC will go right through that capacitor. It won't go back all the way back through those inductance, you know, to the power supply and back. Okay, so it's a bypass. It's a you know, it's an alternate route. Does that make sense? Okay. So, first of all, we want to use a circuit board rather than a breadboard. We just talked about that, right? You understand why. Don't use a breadboard for anything above audio frequencies if you can all help it. It's very handy to plug things into and whatnot, but, you know, it's not very great. Now, you can probably get by with more stuff on a breadboard that's digital stuff than you can with analog, okay? Because the digital stuff is a higher voltage, you know, it's 3.3 volts or 5 volts or something. That's a pretty good signal. So, you know, when you're talking, comparing that to microvolt signals like you would with, say, a, you know, input of a radio or something, you know, that's a pretty big difference. So you won't, the noise and stuff probably won't kill you as quickly there. But you still have other issues, you know. It's much better to use a circuit board. Okay, so next tip is use power supply and ground buses that are larger traces or wires, okay? Ground plane can help with this. Now, why do you want to use bigger wires and power supplies? More current can flow through there. And, you know, of course, bigger wire is needed for more current for heating considerations, but there are other considerations as well. You see, if you have a big current and you have a small wire, even if the wire can carry that current without getting too hot, it has more resistance. There'll be more IR loss, a drop there, right? And when you have an IR drop, that makes a voltage that's proportional to that current, you know? And if that current, suppose this was an amplifier for audio, okay? And this is the power amplifier section. And if you have, suppose you put in your power supply here, you have these skinny traces going down to, put the power supply on this side, and the output transistors are down here. So they're the thing drawing all the current, right? And your input is right over here, okay? So when you put that power supply input and your audio input here, what's going to happen is that power supply is going to be dragging a lot of current through those power supply wires to supply these transistors down here that are doing all the big current. So you're going to have a big IR drop across that that resistor, that little wire resistor that's supplying the power, right? And that will make a voltage down here that is proportional to the output, right? Which will be right next to the input, right? And you're liable to oscillate, okay? So you want big wires for more reasons than just thermal reasons. Thermal reasons are good, but you also want them for oscillation reasons. And it would have been a much better thing to put those wires for the power supply, put your power supply connector right by the heavy current demand thing, right? You should have put the power supply down here and your input down here so that the power supply, you might be a big IR drop right here, but it's not by the input, right? Does it make sense? Okay? So things that you do on your circuit board really matter, okay? Okay, so that's number two. Number three is you want to connect the power supply to the output end of your circuit so the heavy current drawing part of the amplifier or circuit doesn't cause IR drop near the input, through the power bus. So basically, just what I was saying, you want to move that over to the other side. Okay, the smallest signal input should be the furthest from where the power connection, connects the power supply. And all these things are important. When I'm working on redoing Steve's board, I've got to think about all these things, right? Because every one of them is something could get you. And they're kind of rules of thumb, and you kind of, you got to get this thing connected too, right? So it's one of these kind of deals, what am I going to do? You don't want to do the traces that go out and around like this, You want traces that are, short. Okay, anyway. Use ground plane fill on your circuit board layout. Always connect it to ground or a power rail, okay? Using flood fill without connecting it to small signal ground is much worse than not using it all because the islands form capacitor bridges, okay, between the output and the input or between components, okay? So what that does, if you flood fill it, okay, suppose you flood filled it and you didn't connect it to ground. You just flood filled it, So now, you have a trace right here, and then there's this ground plane right here, right? It's ground plane, but it's not grounded, right? It's just a plane, and here's your other trace over here, right? Well, there's a big capacitance between here and here because it's close. Two conductors close makes a capacitor, right? And then there's another capacitor here, so it's kind of like, really, you've got this thing to capacitor, to big fat wire, right? To capacitor to the other thing, right? Does that make sense? But if you ground this thing right here like that, then this guy does not couple to that guy. Okay? So if there's a current that's going down this wire this way, right? An electron is going that way like that, then it's like there would be a hole or a plus charge will be following it along right here as well, right? It's really an electron going the other way, but it appears like a plus charge there, right? And this electron and that guy are staring across the gap at each other, and they kind of go along together, okay? Does that make sense? I mean, you kind of think of it that way. Really, this is, another electron being missing there, right? But the idea is that there is heavy current right here and a return right next to where this thing is, okay? Now, if you didn't have this ground plane here at all and you just have a wire like this, you got a wire going this way, right? And maybe there's somewhere over here is the ground over here, right? And this goes here through a resistor or something, and then it comes back over here. This is, and you got your battery maybe here or something, right? This is a big loop, right? And this, no loop, right? Return wire right next to a signal wire or power wire, whatever it is, right? Make sense? Very, very important. And that's what the ground plane helps you with. It makes a return almost everywhere, right? Make sense? Now, anyway, I guess we should probably look at what the next thing is before I start talking about something ahead of where we got to, okay? So number five, use RC bypass low-pass filters for each stage of your amplifier or circuit, not just bypass capacitors. So if you want a really good bypass capacitor, you know, here's what you do. You know, here's your circuit. You know, this is your circuit right here. And here is this is your power supply, right? If you want to make this thing, a normal bypass capacitor would just go like that, okay? And the idea is that the high frequency, you know, stuff would go right through here instead of going way back through here, right? But if you want to make it even better, you know, there's probably not too much current going down here. You put, I guess I put it on the wrong side here. What you do is you put a little R in here. And this R and that C make a low-pass filter, much better than just the capacitor, right? I mean, without that, you're kind of relying on the inductance in the wires going to the next place. So then you do the next one, would come over here, you know, and you'd have another little thing like this, and, you know, this would come back here to the same ground right here. This is ground. You want to put all your grounds together at one place, kind of, and this would be your next little circuit here, okay? Like that. So here, you know, you got your, you know, little current going around there. Does that make sense? So if you want to make your capacitors, you know, your bypass capacitors more effective, you can do this. And it depends on how much current you're drawing through this thing here. If this is a high current kind of a thing, that's got to be a mighty small resistor, okay? And maybe you have to be zero, okay? I mean, just a wire, right? Or an inductor if you want to, okay? But if it's not very much current drawing in here, right, then you could probably put a, you know, 10 ohms there without any big deal, right? And it would make quite a big difference on your oscillations, because now you won't have signal current going back down through these wires over here and coupling to this circuit here or whatever, right? And it's not just oscillations that happen that you're worried about. There are also actual signal currents. Like, for example, you know, this might be a digital circuit over here, and this is your analog, you know, A to D converter, 1 microvolt, you know, thing that you're converting, right? And you don't want the heavy current going through to this digital circuit, you know, big voltages, big currents, to couple to the, you know, antenna input here, because then you'll be listening to your own music, right? Your own noise, basically, right? You want to keep that stuff away, right? Okay. Use star ground connections to ground and the power rails, or to bypass capacitors, as much as possible. Now, you saw this thing going around here, you know. If you think about this, suppose this was the high power amplifier right here, okay, and this was the preamp, okay? So with this thing coming back to here, it is better because, you see, the current going through the high-power amplifier, there'll be heavy current going through here, which will make this voltage right here going up and down, because this is fixed by the power supply right here. This voltage, as the current goes back and forth in there, this voltage will go up and down with the whatever you're amplifying. You know, the heavy current, as it draws more or less, it'll go up or down right here, okay? And if this guy was close to the input of that guy right over here, this being the preamp over here, we'd have this problem. But if it's far away, there's no big deal. But if I was to connect on here and here rather than here and there, I mean, so that this part right here was actually connected on to there or whatever, then this guy's power supply would be going up and down with this guy right here, right? That would not be good. The other thing is you have Faraday's law, and you're trying to minimize any kind of loops you have where there's a current going around a loop, because any B field that goes through that is going to cause a voltage, right? If the B field is changing, you know, then you end up with a little loop antenna, or you think about it as like a transformer or whatever, a little loop pickup, and it's going to, you know, going to cause problems. So you want to use star grounds. Everything should connect. If this was where this point right here, and this point would be the other star right here, Those are the, you know, the places where you want to have your, yeah, right. I mean, and if possible, it would be even better, you know, if you could actually, you know, run this guy back here. But if it's a long ways, then you might have made a big loop here, which I don't like, right? So, and you want to keep everything just as small as possible, right? Because, so, anyway. Okay, avoid ground loops. We just talked about that. Which time? We're running out of time. Yeah, we're out of time. Well, we'll keep going next day. There's a whole ton more of these, you know, hints.